It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
All right. Welcome. It's good to have everybody here. It is already the second month of the year. Time is moving at such an incredible speed. Now, of course, I'm 56 years old. To me, time is going by too fast. Then, of course, you talk to my teenage daughters, and time is too slow. And what does all that mean? Well, it's all relative, right? I mean, it all depends on where you're at. But I'm glad that you're here. I'm excited. I think you're going to really enjoy this episode. I'm being joined today by Jeff Herman. And Jeff Herman is, you can check him out at jeffherman.com. But anyway, Jeff Herman has a book out, right? And it's called Write the Perfect Book Proposal. He's got a massive background in that. And so before we get started with the show, I should say, I want to have this quote of the day. So the quote of the day was brought to you by one of our listeners. So if you have a quote that you enjoy, send it to me, Bert at BertMartinez.com or on any of the social media sites. And if we like it, we'll air it on the show. And, you might even get a t-shirt or some other swag that may be available, subject to, availability and all that other stuff. All right. So the quote of the day, I discovered writers by reading books left in airplane seats and weird hotels. That is by bestselling author Lee Child. Lee Child is the gentleman who has a series of books by a character named Jack Reacher, which is now a series of movies with Tom Cruise. I've discovered writers by reading books left in airplane seats and weird hotels by Lee Child. All right, let's get this party started. As I mentioned, my guest today is Jeff Herman. Jeff Herman's literary agency has ushered nearly 1,000 books into print. He is the author of the acclaimed Write the Perfect Book Proposal and is often featured as an expert in print and broadcast media. He lives in Stockbridge, Massachusetts. You can find out more about his work at jeffherman.com. Jeff Herman, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thank you.
You know what? And I want to say thank you also for sending me a copy of your book. It is amazing. It's really like an encyclopedia.
Yeah, you're probably referring to Jeff Herman's guide to book publishers, editors, and literary agents.
Yes, thank you.
I've authored both books, but that's probably the big one that you're referring to, because it does have a lot of data. Absolutely.
All right, so let's talk about this. There is a lot of competition. Listening to a young lady named Rachel Hollis, who wrote a book called Party Girl. And interestingly enough, she had a literary agent. They tried, they came very close to selling the manuscript three or four different times, but they ultimately didn't sell the book because there wasn't enough at that time. There wasn't enough, quote, steam in her manuscript. And so she ended up doing a self-published thing, and things worked out really well for her. But my question with all that is, what is a book proposal and what should be included in it? Because, it seems to me like a lot of it has to do with a roll of the dice. In her case, in this Rachel Hollis case, she had a book proposal, she had an agent, and they still missed. So talk about this.
Sure. Well, having the agent is what gets you the access to the traditional publishers. You may have the best book ever written in all of eternity, but if you can't get access to the actual people in the publishing world who make the decisions about what to publish and what not to publish, it really doesn't matter how good your work is. So that's where the agent comes in, because the agent brings the access and the relationships. Now, one of the nice things about nonfiction as opposed to fiction is with nonfiction, you don't have to write the whole manuscript on spec. With fiction, you do. There's reasons for that, which we won't get into in this paragraph. But with nonfiction, all you need is what's known as a book proposal. And what that basically consists of is there are many pieces to it, but the most important part, there are two most important parts. One is the chapter outline, where you show how you're going to roadmap your book, chapter by chapter, and you write a brief description, maybe a few hundred words, describing each chapter. And that way, the publisher can determine what your book is and whether or not you actually have a coherent plan for the book. It's also a good idea to have at least one good sample chapter prove better than just anything else, and you don't want to rely upon the publisher just having blind faith that you can actually implement and execute what you're talking about. The other most important part is who you are. Who are you as the author? What qualifies you to write this book? What brings you the motivation to write this book? And most crucially, how can you support the book once it gets published? Traditionally, many, many books are published, but only a few of them, a relative very small percentage of them, get any meaningful kind of distribution. Because unlike with a consumer product like toothpaste, where you have maybe half a dozen brands, with book publishing, you literally have tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of possible brands. And the bookstores, the physical ones, can only accommodate the ones that they think are going to hop and jump, which comes from author promotion. And then, of course, there's the big one, Amazon, which is maybe up to half the market. But Amazon is only driven by consumers. Amazon will not say, buy this book, unless they're already selling a lot of them because consumers are coming to buy the book. So the author, to create a plan, to create confidence that he or she is going to get people to just literally buy the book. And that's what you do with the book proposal.
Gotcha, gotcha. See, and that's interesting to me because I would think that if you're going to make a book proposal to one of these traditional publishers, that they would have a marketing strategy kind of aligned already, right? But it sounds like
that's
not true. It's a
no.
misnomer, yeah. Because some of these celebrities who have a big fan base can get a big book deal because they know that they're going to get their money back.
Yes, exactly. The book publishing industry has never been very adept at merchandising or consumer marketing. By origins, book publishing was designed for the top 1 or 2% of the American population. If you go back 150-odd years, not everybody was literate. So you weren't really going for a large portion of the population originally when book publishing existed. Plus, if you go back 150 years ago, buying a book was a luxury item for most households. So there weren't a lot of readers, or there simply weren't a lot of people who could afford to buy a book. And the marketing mindset that existed then largely exists today. Book publishers do have in-house marketing. and in-house publicity. But the people that they are hiring are very different than the people that, let's say, Procter & Gamble is hiring. Procter & Gamble presumably will go to the very top MBA programs and offer very attractive six-figure starting incomes to the next best crop of marketing people that are coming out of these top programs. Book publishers will hire a very bright English major who maybe really wants to be an editor and pay them a very substandard salary to be a marketing person and a publicity person, even though they have no expertise or training in that area. And I don't mean to denigrate anybody who is in-house publicity or in-house marketing and publishing, because there are a lot of brilliant people who are there doing it, for sure. But the institution doesn't really support them the same way a toothpaste company or a paper towel company will support its in-house marketing and sales department. As a result, you need the author to do what the publisher cannot do and will not do. You may say they should do it. Fine, you could say that, but it's just not the way it happens.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about this. There is a device, for lack of better terms, called a query letter, and this is, I guess, synonymous as a pitch. So this is, I guess, prior to writing your book proposal, you're going to send a pitch or a query letter. Is that right?
Well, there is a protocol, and like I tell people all the time, protocols are good because it gives you a baseline, but it's not like you're going to come get arrested if you don't follow the protocol. You can stray from the protocols, but you should know that you're straying from the protocol. It's good to know what it is. So the way agents and editors want to be contacted initially is by something which is called a query letter. It's been called that for maybe over 100 years. But what it really is, it's a pitch letter. And what you're pitching to the editor or the agent is you want them to think that there's a reason for them to even read beyond the first paragraph in your pitch letter, and then to maybe read your book proposal or your manuscript. And you have to understand that every agent and every editor is looking for reasons why they shouldn't bother reading your manuscript or your proposal, because it's extremely time-consuming, and ultimately 99% of what is presented will not be acquired for various reasons. So it's not necessarily a good use of time for agents and editors to just go piling through millions or thousands, rather, of proposals and manuscripts, knowing how difficult it is to find what they need. So the pitch letter is a way for the agent and editor to initially screen how to invest their time. And it's an opportunity for you to lure them into thinking that it may be to their advantage, to their benefit, to invest their time to actually read further.
Gotcha. All right, so I want to talk about this because, again, you know, Jeff here is an agent, so I'm going to kind of put you on the spot here. So how do I find an agent? Is it just, you know, dialing and smiling, or is it better to let an agent, quote, find me or discover me? Talk about this.
Okay, well, the agent works on a commission. That's the only way a legitimate agent earns his or her living, meaning that the only way they can succeed is by selling product to the publishers, and then they get a 15% cut on the advance and the royalties that may follow. It's the agent's job to have the relationships with the publishers. An agent needs to be very selective about what he or she is showing to the publishers so that they don't lose their access. If it's determined that this is an agent who is not pitching viable projects, that is an agent who can't succeed as an agent. Now, it makes sense to get an agent because the in-house publishers in-house do not have an infrastructure for screening what's known as unagented, unsolicited submissions, meaning unagented, it hasn't been essentially curated and nominated by an agent. Unsolicited simply means that nobody at the publishing house said, oh yeah, go ahead and send that to me. So a lot of that comes, a lot of the unagented, unsolicited stuff is automatically deleted, frankly. And no one pretends otherwise. But if it comes through an agent, it's more likely to be looked at. It doesn't mean it'll get bought and published. What you need to do as a writer is understand that you have to sell yourself to an agent because the agent is in the driver's seat in the sense that the typical agent is rejecting 98% of what he or she sees because they can only make money from the 2% they think they can sell. So,
all right. So I want to ask you this because
yeah,
it sounds
okay.
I want it just to clarify this because you said a legitimate agent works on commission. So if somebody right now is, quote, talking to an agent, unquote, and that agent is asking them for some money up front, they should probably run away.
They'd be just as well off hiring an astronaut to represent them, okay? I mean, anybody, you know, anybody can say, I am an agent. I mean, I don't think there's
right.
There's any misrepresentation in calling yourself that, you know, that term. Maybe in California where there's more regulations. I don't know. But if an agent is asking for money, they really don't need commissions. I mean, I get thousands of submissions a month. If I were to just tell everyone, well, send me $25 with your submission and maybe I'll read it. You know, it's non-refundable. Why would I ever have to sell anything? You know, I mean, I could just keep cashing those checks. I mean, it would be a great racket. But there are people who do that, and they get away with it because the writers don't understand. They don't know. Not because they're stupid. They just aren't educated about the process.
All right. So it seems to me that if you're – back to what you said, you know, you are really, as an author, you're selling yourself, you're selling your idea, and you're selling that you can promote this book to the agent, and then eventually the agent might be able
resells
to
it.
To,
right.
To
the agent
yeah,
resells
to the publishing
it.
House.
Right. The agent is the funnel.
Gotcha.
The agent's the sales funnel, and the agent converts it then so that it's sellable to the publisher.
All right. So what happens if I don't have an agent? Again, back to breaking the rules. What if I solicit my own manuscript to a publisher on my own? I mean, do they look at those? Is it going to be worse than having an agent? Better than having an agent?
It won't be worse. At worst, it'll be neutral. Now, the publishers will tell you they don't want unsolicited, unagented submissions. And the reason they'll tell
right.
you that is because they don't want, okay? That's a true statement. But it doesn't mean that you can't find wormholes and loopholes through that so-called iron curtain, okay?
Right.
And one of the ways I tell people to do it is, well, they, of course, can buy my book, I mean, which it sounds very self-serving, but it's absolutely true, because we identify who thousands of the editors actually are by name, their email addresses, information about what they specialize in editorially, and information about their publishing company and the division that they work for. And if you go directly to an editor with your idea, as opposed to just sending it to editorial department, Random House, or sending it to the CEO of the company, you will now, there's an excellent chance that your email or your letter, your physical letter, will be, you know, will be opened by that actual person, that individual. And once that happens, you have access. Now, from there, I mean, it's just a question of merit, whether or not the particular editor after they open your file or open your letter feel motivated to go further in the process. But essentially, you've acted as your own agent in getting the access. And it's not as easy because you have to do a lot of homework, but you can do it. And people do it, and they get published. It's not a pipe dream. It's very plausible.
Right, absolutely. I have an acquaintance of mine, and you may know his name, Steve Alton. Steve wrote New York Times bestseller Meg, wrote it like 20 years ago, and it's a roller coaster.
It was made into a movie last year.
Yeah, but what's interesting here is, so here's a guy, he got laid off his job, he got fired from his job, and the story is, what he related to me was that he's at a doctor's in the waiting room. And there's this Time magazine. He opens it up, and there's this whole article about the Meg, about the shark Megalodon. And for whatever reason, it ignites his imagination. And he, in a period of a day or two or three, he writes out his book and submits it to a couple of agents. He instantly gets an agent. This agent finds a publisher and and then it quickly, he gets like a movie deal. It's just like a dream come true. Everything happened, you know, fairly quickly for him. And what's interesting is that's obviously the exception, not the rule, right? Because it just, you know, the stars aligned themselves perfectly and he was able to, you know, take action and make it happen.
It's the exception.
And,
yes.
Yeah. And what's interesting, the book was written like 20 plus years ago. He got the movie deal a year after the book was written, and he got multiple. So he got a movie deal, and he ended up having to buy the rights back because the movie didn't happen. He ended up doing that two or three different times. Of course, you know, for those who keep up with the stuff, Meg was released last year, so. He said it was, you know, obviously very frustrating, gut-wrenching roller coaster of a ride. But the, you know, my point being is, and I think I've lost my point actually, but, you know, bottom line is he's the exception, not the rule. Most people aren't that lucky to, you know, not only to submit a manuscript, get an agent, get it published, go New York Times bestseller. You know, that is phenomenal. That is phenomenally lucky, correct? I mean, go ahead.
You could say luck, and you could also say that it was merit. I mean, yes, it does sound like buying a lucky lottery ticket, which really takes no skill unless you learn how to beat the system, which apparently some people have done and will always do. But
sure.
I would say that he was fortunate that he was able to avoid a lot of the bottlenecks that even the most talented authors have to go through before they establish themselves as a published, successful author. But I would also say my hunch is, I know who he is, but I don't know anything about him. My hunch would be that he also had a great deal of talent, and he had the right product at the right time, and he knew how to somehow network himself to the right people who would work for him, you know, and with him, such as the right agent at the right time. So I don't it's hard to clinically analyze from a scientific point of view, you know, what's luck and what's merit and what's nothing, what's
sure.
just happenstance. But my hunch would be because it was self-sustaining, it didn't just get published, it actually succeeded when it was published. And it did eventually get made into a movie. The book publishers have no responsibility for what happens to the movie side of things. And
right.
his experience actually is not the exception, okay? Movie producers will buy the rights to something and hold on to it for decades in many instances without it ever getting produced for a lot of reasons that I don't, you know, it's not my skill set. But
right. Well, I mean, part of it, yeah. Back to what you said, part of it has to be timing, right? I mean, I've talked to enough producers and directors, and it's almost the same scenario. You have this idea, you pitch it, and, you know, some people say yes, but then there's a problem with this or there's that. You know, anyway, so but we won't cover that now.
But I will guarantee you, the flip side is there are people who agents and publishers thought, oh, yeah, this is the next hot thing, and they maybe put a lot of money in that author's pocket. And
yeah.
Put a lot of money into marketing it. They will. Publishers will find resources to market the books that they think are hot, and they will invest. Often, what they will do is outsource the marketing and the publicity. But it happens a lot, and you won't be reading about it because there's no reason to, where a lot of money gets put into a particular book, and the book fails. Okay. It doesn't sustain itself in the marketplace for whatever reason. It just didn't meet anyone's expectations. And you won't read an article about that. You won't have a conversation on a radio show 25 years after the fact about that.
Why
but those are
failed.
A little more common, okay?
Sure, sure. I mean, yeah, to me that makes total sense. All right, so let me ask you this. What do I do if an agent offers me representation? Should I get an attorney?
No.
You know, what are the steps?
Okay. Well, first of all, you should try to connect with agents who you believe are reputable. Of course, I have to take you back to Jeff Herman's Guide to Literary Agents, because in there, 200 literary agents talk about themselves in detail. You go to their website. You can see what books they've agented, books perhaps. You want to go to agents who are in your category. So if you're writing romance, you want to go to agents who specialize in romance, who don't, you know, whereas like my agency, we very rarely do romance. We wouldn't be the right tree to bark up to,
right.
You know, if you're doing romance. So I'm just using that as an example. But once
sure,
the agent
sure.
comes to you, that's a very good day when the agent comes to you. So then have a telephone conversation with the agent, you know, find out what their process is, you know, what they think they may need you to do next, when they expect they will be able to start pitching it, what their pitch strategy is. Are they going to go to one publisher at a time? Are they going to go to five publishers at a time? And what is their anticipated time frame for being able to hopefully get a deal? Or knowing maybe, gee, we didn't get a deal, and being able to put closure on it that way. So it's, and then you just, you know, the agent will usually have a simple letter of agreement, which should really be confined to the work and, you know, the work, the actual work, not everything you've will publish in the future, not everything you've published, you've written in the past, but just the work in question. And it should state what the commission is, and it should also state, gee, how can the agent or you decide to terminate the contract, you know, if either party choose to. And that should be pretty painless. I mean, I'll just qualify that by saying if the agent gets you a deal, let's say, with Random House, and then you sign the Random House contract, and then you decide, hey, I don't want to have to pay this agent 15% anymore, so I'll just fire him. You can't, okay? The agent's assignment will be embedded in the book publisher's contract. And you know, so that becomes binding. But if the agent has not actually sold the project for you, you can pretty much, you know, it will terminate the contract. The problem with that is going back to other agents, you need to always tell the other agents where the project may have been. And the agent may just ask you, have you had an agent in the past? And you don't want to lie about that because it's a small
right.
community. So I know agents are always wary of retreads. The frustrated writer who feels like he or she has been victimized by the last agent or the last publisher that they've had, and now they're thinking, well, if I cross the street, you know, I'm going to get a different experience. You may, but you may not. And publishers are always concerned about aligning themselves with someone who's going down the staircase as opposed to someone who's going up the staircase. These are just all the different vagaries that go into play.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Jeff, it's been a blast having you on the show. I'd love to bring you back and talk more about this because I think statistically, what, there's like 80% of people want to write a book. And so I think this is one of those topics that people can listen to. But if you guys want to find out more about Jeff Herman and his books, he's got two great books at jeffherman.com, jeffherman.com. That's Jeff, H-E-R-M-A-N.com. And one book is the Jeff Herman's Guide to Book Publishers, Editors, is Literary Agents, who they are, what they want, and how to win them over. And then the other one is Write the Perfect Book Proposal. Again, they're both available at jeffherman.com. And Jeff, I want to thank you so much for stopping by. Go ahead.
Sure. And all fine bookstores.
Oh, all fine bookstores. I forgot. Yeah.
Including Amazon.
Including Amazon. So I love it.
Yeah.
Jeff, thank you so much. Looking forward to having you back again, my friend.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Good stuff there from literary agent Jeff Herman. A lot of deep, deep stuff. So if you're thinking about writing a book, maybe self-publishing is better way to go. You have more control, less frustration, or maybe it's better for you to get an agent. Either way, I want to wish you the most luck. And when you publish your book, whether you do it through an agent or you do it self-publish, hit me up and let's see if we get you on the show. Bert at bertmartinez.com, and I'll get my producers involved and we'll make it happen if it's a good fit. As always, my friends, let's share this episode with everybody. Let's help people publish their books, get agents, do things bigger, better, faster. Remember, you were created to succeed.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.